tonight's shiur, you know, you could see it a little bit as a pre-Thanksgiving shiur, based upon how, you know, general American society and culture views Thanksgiving, because, you know, Leah likes to tell the story that one time she was in ShopRite down in Morris Avenue in Springfield, and it was, you know, preparing for Shabbos that I don't know who was coming over, and she had like one shopping cart, pulling another one, one was full, pulling another, and some old lady came up to her and said, you know, Thanksgiving was a couple of months ago, what are you doing? And she said, yeah, we do Thanksgiving twice a week, you know, every Friday night and every Shabbos morning. You know, people get so nervous about how you're going to carve a turkey. People, it's like really a big avoda, you know. So what I wanted to talk about tonight is a little bit about that avoda. Not the avoda of carving a turkey. The avoda of Yitzchak Avinu to be able to give a bracha to his son. The learning though tonight is Ili Nishmas Gittel Dvor Bas Dove Bear, Gladys Koppelman, Alana and Jeremy Erez's grandmother, whose yurtzeit is tonight and tomorrow, that the learning should be Aliyas Nasham again, Gittel Dvor Bas Dove Bear. So we're in Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Dalet, and it's a famous question that many Mefarshim really try to understand. They want to know what's pshat in this pasuk. Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Dalet, right? Kizakin Yitzchak Vatechen Einav Miros. Yitzchak is old, he can't see so well. He calls Esav Beno HaGadol, and he says, I don't know when I'm going to die. Go out to the field, v'tzuda litzayid. Go get me some good game. You know, go hunt for me. V'aseli matan, so why? Meaning, Yitzchak is old, he's blind, he calls his oldest son, I don't know when I'm going to die, so go get me some food. What? Why? V'aseli matamim, v'aseli matamim, pasuk dalet, kasher ahavti, v'havi'ali v'ochela, ba'avur tivarecha nafshi b'terem amos. And make for me the delicious food, matamim, tam, lashon of tam, so things that taste good, like I love, and bring it to me and I'm going to eat it, so that my soul can bless you before I die. What? What's going on here? What does this mean? Yitzchak Avinu, what bracha does he want to give him? We see the bracha that he gives. This is the bracha of Avram Avinu, meaning he wants to transmit the bracha that Avram was given by Hashem. Avram gave it to Yitzchak. Yitzchak confirmed it. Yitzchak now wants to give it to Esav. And we've discussed in the past, how could he think to give it to Esav? You know, he saw himself in Esav to a certain degree, because he saw Yaakov as being this parishes person that's totally separated from this world, this person that's sitting in a base medrash that can't relate to people, can't go out and deal with the world. And he saw Esav as this person who's going out to conquer the world. And Yitzchak, whose midah, whose attribute was gevura, with strength, who also saw his father as this person who went out into the world, who's going to be the one to carry on the combined mission of me and my father, of having great strength and going out into the world? Yaakov, the guy that's sitting in the base medrash all day, right? So we spoke about that he thought Esav and Yaakov would be a partnership, but Esav is going to be the one in the forefront. Esav is going to be the one that goes out into the world. So that's how he thought he needed to bless Esav. But so what is he going to do now? Yeah, Yitzchak Avinu is acting as God's conduit to bring the blessing down from God and transmit it to Yitzchak. So what does he need to be able to transmit the blessing to Yitzchak? He needs a good steak. Like, really? Does that make sense? What's going on here? Again, what's going on? That, you know, go, and the Torah sees that this is significant, and granted, it's significant for the story. I understand that it fits in with the storyline. But the Torah is really V'aseli matam kasher ahavti, V'avi'ali v'alcheila, make the delicious food that I love. Like, why is the Torah going into such detail? And really, what we have here is is a very important yesod, a very important idea in all of Judaism. It's a very important idea in all of religious life. And in many ways, this is why Judaism, it's set apart from many other religions, right? We know that Judaism does not believe in asceticism as an ideal, right? Judaism doesn't believe that the holy person is a person who fasts all day. Judaism doesn't believe that the holy person lives a monastic life, never talks, never marries. That's not the Jewish view, right? Judaism has a very, very different view of what it means to live a life of godliness and holiness. But this is a key right here in terms of the perspective we have to have in living a holy life. And what we're going to say tonight is based upon an essay by Rav Shimshon Pinkus, a shir that was written up. Rav Shimshon Pinkus is the person whose sefer we're learning in our Sha'arim B'Tfila WhatsApp group. He wrote the sefer Sha'arim B'Tfila, really an amazing person, grew up in Brooklyn, basically moved to Israel when he was single to learn there in yeshiva, never really moved back. An amazing person, was a rabbi in south of Israel in a very poor town, American rabbi there in the middle of the desert. And he shares a very important idea. He says that what this pasuk is teaching us is that when it comes to eating, there might not be any single other act that we can do in this world that can create such a strong bond to God like eating. That's what he argues. He argues eating can create the strongest bond between a person and God. He said there's something that's a second, but he says not as much. You know what he says is a close second? Sleeping. How? So he says a very beautiful idea, that when you learn Torah, you know you're filling yourself with eternal life, right? But when a person is eating, what happens when you're eating? Right, I know it often happens to me that, you know, I'm running around all morning, I teach my four periods, and Tuesdays, Thursdays, I come back, and I could be like wiped out. I feel like teaching four periods, you know what it is, teaching these seniors. It's you're like Rabbi Schechter likes to quote from Rav Soloveitchik, that, you know, when you're teaching, you're really an entertainer. You have to entertain four periods in a row, right? You're entertaining, not now, Baruch Hashem. I don't have to entertain now. Now we're just learning, right? And you know, I'm wiped out. I'm wiped out. I'm going to pass out now for a couple hours. And then, you know what? You eat a little food. I have a coffee. I take something. And all of a sudden, I'm energized. Rav Pinkus says, just take a step back and realize what happened. It's what happens with Esav a little bit in the beginning of the parsha, but he has a totally wrong perspective on it, right? When Yaakov buys the birthright from Esav, and that's also, it's an important piece of the parsha, not just to set up the wherewithal for Yaakov Avinu to get the Bechora, but it's a contrast between Esav and Yitzchak here. That how do we experience eating? How do we view eating? And what Rav Pinkus points out is that he doesn't know that there's anything as direct, as clear, to connect us to God. And he says, you know, we see, and this is in many Sfarim, Rav Tzadok HaKohen says, what was the first sin in all of history? It was an act of eating, right? And you know what's interesting? What is the only food a Jew must eat every year, Torah law? There are only two foods the same night, Karban Pesach and Matzah. If you have a Karban Pesach, then Mar is also deraisa. Meaning, the only night there's an obligation to eat a specific food, the only time all year, is Pesach night. What's Pesach night? It's the birth of the Jewish people. The people who are going to fix the sin of Adam and Chava. It's so interesting that we celebrate the birth of the tikkun, of the fixing, with what? With eating. And what's even more interesting when you consider it further, Amud Yomi is going to learn this tomorrow morning at 5:50. Gemar Brachos Chesam Beis. What's the only day of the year that it's a mitzvah just to eat? Erev Yom Kippur. Huh? The whole, you know, we like to think Shabbos Shabbosim. the day of the year that we reach the levels of angel and angels. And what does the Torah tell us the day before Yom Kippur? What do you have to do? You have to eat. And there's stories of the great Rosh Hashivas and Tzaddikim that walk around with the sucking candy in their mouth all day. Like the mamish held, it's a mitzvah to eat all day. So they would sit with the sucking candy all day long. Why? What's this whole obsession we have with Jews have with food? Okay, I know the unhealthy obsession, and that's what I'm working on, you know? There's a reason why I chose this topic tonight, you know what I'm saying? So we have to understand, you know, like, what's going on here? And Rav Pinkus wants to say, what Yitzchak Avinu is telling us, you know, he uses a beautiful lashon, that Yitzchak said to Esav, that I want to bless you, but for me to be able to draw down that blessing, I have to feel closeness to God. I have to feel God's presence. And so you know how I'm going to be able to create the strongest connection I can with God? It's through eating. It's through how we eat. And what's interesting is Rav Pinkus says that we know the general rule is that something that has greater potential for good and holiness in the world generally, it's totally degraded, right? We've spoken about that tefillah. The Gemara says tefillah stands in the height of the universe and people disgrace it, right? A Gemara in Brachos, also in the beginning of Brachos. And we've said that many explain, what does it mean? That if it's so powerful, how do people disgrace it? Because it's so powerful, people disgrace it. That's what the Gemara is teaching us. Things that have great potential, we totally, unfortunately, you know, fall prey often to the nisyonos, the challenges of using it properly. You know, like people say, what's one of the holiest days of the year? Some say it's holier than Yom Kippur. What day? Purim. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim. Tell me, is there any greater day that's degraded in the Jewish calendar? By and large, you know, and unfortunately, in places where... But okay, we're not going to get into the sociological issues and what happens in what communities. But why is that? Because it's a klal gadol, it's a general rule that kol hamekudesh mechaveru, something that is holier, anything that's holier than anything else, charev mechaveru, it's generally more devastated, more degraded than anything else. And he goes, this is the challenge of eating. This is the challenge of eating. When a person eats, he can make it an act of solidifying a kesher, their connection to God, or you can make it a totally, totally animalistic act devoid of any semblance of spirituality. And it doesn't necessarily mean how we eat, right? When we talk about eating b'kedusha, it doesn't mean, you know, although the Gemara does give us certain rules. They say you shouldn't walk around when you're eating, right? You shouldn't eat out in the marketplace. Like certain things, certain behaviors we don't engage. But you know, the Torah doesn't say that you can't use your fingers. Actually, some say mayim achronim is because we eat with our fingers, right? So, you know, some say that dafka when you're having fish on Shabbos, you dafka supposed to use your fingers when you eat fish on Shabbos. Don't share that with your husband, right? Don't share that with, like, you know, okay, great. Now, like, here's the herring, right? I don't, some Hamish places, that's what they do. But when we talk about eating b'kedusha, it doesn't mean manners. Eating b'kedusha, what does it take to eat b'kedusha? You know what Rav Pinkus says? Very simple. It just takes a little time. That's it. He says we live in a world devoid of time. People don't have time for anything. We rush around so quickly. We're rushing around from here to there. But he says the truth is to eat b'kedusha, just to take a step back and just think a little bit about what you're about to do. Just think a little bit about what you're about to do, right? People talk about conscious eating, right? Don't just, you know, not emotional eating. No, you know, okay, there's some issues that I've heard over the years from different guides that we're not supposed to eat emotionally. We should eat consciously. We should be conscious eaters. And that's what Rav Pinkus suggests. That's the difference between a person who eats the Kedusha and a person who eats like a behemoth, a person eats like an animal. I mean, there are stories of those on like the highest levels. You know, it's a story I heard about the Oiv Yisrael of Apt, the Aptarov. He was a lover of Jews. That's why, hence the name of his sefer, the Oiv Yisrael. So actually, the famous things about him are next week's parsha. Maybe we'll get there. But the Oiv Yisrael of Apt, so, you know, one time a Misnagid went to go see his Tish, and he was told that the Ohr of Yisrael, they say he had a healthy appetite, Ohr of Yisrael, that, you know, you have to watch how he eats. He eats so holy and such all. And so some misnagid came, and this person was not into Chassidus. He sees the Ohr of Yisrael eating, and he's like, you know, thinking during the whole time during the tishah, well, what's the big deal? He eats an apple, I eat an apple. Like, what's the difference? He didn't see, like, nothing outwardly that... So after the tish, everyone waits online to say good Shabbos to the Rebbe. And this misnagid comes up to the Ohr of Yisrael, and the Ohr of Yisrael says to him, you know what the difference between you and me is? You make the bracha to eat the apple. I eat the apple to say the bracha. Right? That's what the Ohr of Yisrael said to him. Meaning, it's the old question of what's ikar and what's tafel in life. What's primary and what's secondary in life, which is one of the greatest challenges that we have all the time. But Rav Pinkus says that very simply, when a person eats, you have to know that this is something with tremendous holiness, something with tremendous potential. And he says at the same time, there's nothing more dangerous than an individual who is solely concerned about self-indulgence and just to enjoy themselves in this world. He said there's nothing more dangerous than that. He said that's the antithesis of why we're here. And it's interesting, some of Farshim point out that what is the staple food? The staple food, of course, until this century, was lechem, was bread. Right? It was lechem. Right? The doctors say that so many changes in human physiology, some say so many diseases, because our diets have so radically changed over the past 100 years. With a very chush of a doctor that was in my father's community in Staten Island. He's since made Aliyah. He was one of the top people in Maimonides in Brooklyn. He was very well known, many, many awards. So he said, he thought, I one time asked him certain shilas, I would call him a shilas in medicine to discuss with him in certain areas. And I once said to him, what's happened? And he said, it's simple, Chai. He said, so many of the changes in the human body the past 100 years, because it's all based on how, his thing, how we eat and what we eat. He said, think about the changes that happened over the past 100 years, just the food quality, and just think about how food lasts so long, right? Like the bread you eat, that you buy in ShopRite, how long has that bread been around? Now tell me, does any bread you buy from bakery last that long? Does it? No. So what's in that bread? What do you think's in that bread? What? Again, I'm not saying, you know, trust me. Sharon, don't worry. I'm not going what's a caveman diet? I'm not doing any of those things. But there's no question that lechem is the primary food. And you know what's interesting? What other word comes from lechem, is connected to lechem? Milchama. What's a war? A warrior, a combatant, is a lochem, someone who fights, right? But it was a lochem, right? Not only a chayal, say a lochem, right? No, lochem ghetto, the lochem ghetto, the ghetto fighters, the rebels of the ghetto, a milchama. Why? Salpi Kabbalah, and in Chassidus Shesfarim you find this, and it's a reason why Reb Tzadok says the very first sin was a sin of eating. Because that's the greatest battle that we engage in every day. And why is that? So actually, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who was not a chassid, who was, of course, a misnagid, he was a student of the Vilna Gaon, but in his Sefer Ruach Chaim, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, he discusses the idea that when you think about it, what does the act of eating do? The act of eating is supposed to what? Create stronger bonds between your soul and your body, meaning it anchors your soul to your body. If you stop eating, what happens? God forbid, right? Your soul leaves your body, right? When you don't eat for a little while, like I told you, if I'm teaching four periods and I didn't have anything in the morning and I come home in the afternoon, you moms feel like you're going to pass out, right? Think about the sense of the, and again, that's related to the inisem es nafsha seichem and Yom Kippur, to allow the feeling of the soul of moving beyond. But this idea that every time you eat, what you're doing is you're bonding your soul to your body. Now we know from creation in Bereshis just a few weeks ago, right, that afar min ha'adamah, Nishmas Chayim, that every human being is a composite of two contrary forces. There's a force of dirt that just wants to stay down, and there's a soul that, what does the soul want to do? The soul wants to constantly just be going up and up and up, la'elu, la'elu. So you have these two contrary forces, and what merges them together? What solidifies the hold of one and the other? When we eat food. When we eat food. And so therefore, every act of achila, the Nefesh HaChaim and others talk about this idea, and again, in the Hasidic world, the act of eating has a tremendous role in service of God. That's why the Tish is such a big deal. That's why meals on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, are such big deals. Because eating is a tremendous mode of worship of the Ribono Shel Olam. Or it can turn in worship of the self. And that's the question as to why we're eating. Again, not only the old, do you eat to live or do you live to eat? But really, do we have kavana when we eat? Do we understand what we're eating? And this is really what's born out from this week's parsha. It's that contrast between Esav in the beginning and then Yitzchak. And it's in between is the Be'eros, which we're not going to get into. We've spoken about the wells also in the past. But this is something that when you think about Esav, he comes in famished. And what does he say? Just pour it down. Just pour it down. That's why I had a Rebbe who was very not into drinking from soda cans. Did not like the idea of drinking from soda cans, or, you know, like the little blood bottles, the plastic bottles, the glass bottles. I feel guilty every time I do it. You know, the things that you learn in high school that, you know, made a roshim, adayom hazeh, and I go to 7-Eleven and, drink. So sometimes if I take a big gulp cup and I put ice in it, I buy the bottle and like, if I'm feeling particularly guilty that day. But he felt that that's like Esav behavior. You don't just gulp that. I remember I was sitting with my eldest brother, Ari, once in Sushi Mitsuyan in Teaneck. And, he never had sushi before. I wonder, what's this big deal about sushi? And I took the sushi and, made bracha, popped in the thing. And he takes a fork and knife and starts cutting a piece of sushi. I'm like, what are you doing? Really? You cut a piece of sushi? Okay. Is this why, Shai? Because, he looked at me and he said, that's animalistic, just to gobble down this whole big piece. You just pop in this piece into your mouth. You don't eat like that. A Jew doesn't eat like that. You have to eat, not alt's manners, just alt's. It's Esav like just to gulp something down. He felt that throwing down, maybe it was a big piece, okay, I don't know, maybe it was a big roll. But Lamaisa, this is something that is meant for us every day. And of course, Chazal wanted to give us something to make it easier for us. So what did they give us? What did they give us? You know this. We learned this together for a long time. I'm not going to be on the spot. Right? No. I know. It's a couple of years. It's late on a Monday night. What am I doing to you? Right? They gave us brachos. What's a bracha? Right? Rav Pinchas said that we live in a society where there's no time. People just rushing here and there. And he said, you just watch people running into food stores, buying something, and literally start gobbling. And that's what the Gemara probably means. Don't eat in the shuk. Meaning, you went and bought the food in the shuk. Don't eat the food in the shuk. Go somewhere and eat it. Don't buy it in the shuk like people buy pizza and just eat it walking out the pizza store. Really? That's not how you're supposed to do it. And the posh just is, that's what many say. And Rav Arnoldson was very into the idea that you don't eat in public. You sit, you eat like a mensch. What does that mean, to eat like a mensch? That it's not this animalistic act, but that's at least what a bracha's trying to help us do. A bracha's trying to help us focus in. Right? What does baruch mean? Baruch means brecha. That God, you're the source of all reality. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu. You're our God. Right? You're the kol yachal. You're the one that controls everything. Melech ha'olam. Borei mini mizonos. You create all different types of things that help sustain me. Right? Do you realize what a bracha is? Shakol mi abedvar, that everything comes through. Borei pri ha'etz. It's amazing. It's really amazing. When you think about that a bracha, one of the purposes of the bracha is to get you to stop. Hold on. Pause. Hit the pause button. You bought that piece of pizza? Okay, sarif nashal, you're washing, you're not washing. Okay, we're not going to go into that, right? But what are you about to do? You're right, you always see you know, it's like that old story that Rav Schwab said that I tell all the time when he saw one of the members of a shul, a woman walking out of a church in Baltimore when he was a rabbi down in Baltimore in like the 50s. And he said to her, what are you doing? She's like, Rabbi, you don't understand. They have something great there. He goes, what do they have? They have confessional. I go into a booth and I say all my sins and I unload and it feels so good. He goes, we have it also. He goes, we do. Slach lo navin chiratanum. You know, it doesn't have to be to a person. It's in front of God. You know, you watch on television when a family sits together before someone once said to me, isn't it nice this idea of saying grace before they eat what they're thankful? I'm like, you're kidding, right? In other words, you're kidding, right? Do you say Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz? Do you say Bracha? It's like, well, that's different. I'm like, no, it's exactly the same. That's probably where Jesus got it from, right? Like, no, it's exactly the same. But be conscious about your brachos. Be conscious about what Kiddush is. Be conscious what Hamotzi is. Be conscious of what these things are supposed to mean. And this is really a tremendous lekach, something we need to take away from this parsha, that the Torah puts it in. Again, why does the Torah dafka tell us about Esav, you know, gumming it down? Esav, you know, vayazid Yaakov nazid, Esav comes, ayev haliteni na min adom adom azek yefanochi. Just pour it down. Pour it down. That's what he says to him. Pour it down. Pour it down my throat. It's exactly what Pink is saying. They don't have time. I don't even know what it is, this red stuff. Doesn't even look. Doesn't contemplate. The eating, that's in the beginning of the parsha. That's Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Lamed, 25:30. Right? This red stuff, I don't even know what it is. Right? That's one perspective of eating. And then the other perspective of eating, you know, the next parak of Zayin, Vasali Matamim Kashara Hafti Vavili Valchela, Bavur Tavarecha Nafshi Bitar Mamus. That I need to have that delicious food, because that, as Rav Pinkus said, is what Yitzchak Avinu is saying, is gonna open up those pipelines for me. That's what's gonna open up the opportunity for me to really be able to bless you. And he says that there's in fact a Gemara in Gittin, Daf Ayin Amar Aleph. Gemara and Gittin that says, Sudoscha shahnoscha mimenu, mishoch yodcha mimenu. A meal that you're getting pleasure from, pull your hand away from it. So what does that mean? So Pashup Shah in the Gemara, it's actually one of those medical Gemaras. Don't overeat. But al pi avoda, there are those that say that, what some say, that any meal that you're getting pleasure from, that it's so enjoyable, you don't eat such a meal. We don't eat for pleasure. But he says, no. Rav Pinkus says, no, of course we're supposed to enjoy the food. But what does it mean? Sudascha she'anascha mimena, a suda that you're getting such pleasure from, mishoch yadcha mimena, pull your hand back from it, meaning for a moment. Just stop for a minute. Stop. Before you know, that shawarma smells awesome, that whatever it is that smells great and looks delicious, pull your hand back for a minute. A meal that you're going to get pleasure from, you'll get the pleasure. But when you're about to start, pull back. Now, and that's what they say, that tzaddikim say there's a type of fasting. You ever heard about fasting through eating? Ever hear al pi derech avoda? They say like the most intense type of fast. It's not a fast when you don't eat at all. I know for myself, I could go a whole day without eating, as long as I'm not teaching for periods in a row. You know, you could go mamsh like yesterday with the community's fair. I had two cups of coffee. I maybe tried a little thing at the fair. I had a piece of pretzel. Our Krispy Kreme donuts were better. 6 hours with 30 dozen Krispy Kremes. You know how many I had? Zero. Okay, that was a win. But I was okay. I was going okay. From back and forth city. Till I ate at night, I was fine. But once you start eating, for me, it's like so hard to limit. And that's what some tzaddikim say. The biggest type of fast is during a meal. Just stop for 5 minutes. Just stop in the middle of your meal for 5 minutes. Stop eating. And then continue after. But just stop, l'shem control. You know, it's a story that Rav Moshe Wolfson says about once with Shlomo Karlbach. They were Talmidim in Torah Vadas together by Rav Shlomo Hyman, one of the great Rosh Hashivas from Europe that actually came to America and taught in Torah Vadas. And someone once asked Rav Moshe Wolfson about, you know, Shlomo Karlbach, can you listen? Can I? He goes, listen, I don't know what became of him, but I'll just tell you one ma'isa with me and Shlomo when we were Bachrim in Yeshiva. He said, we went to go get egg creams. My Zadie talked about egg creams. Like it's a precursor to a milkshake, right? No, does anyone know? Is that what they were? Something like that. What? Something like that, right? I've never had an egg cream, but that's, I mean, my Zadie spoke, was from there to Kufa also. He was in Torvatas. He used to talk about egg creams. So Rav Wolfson said that we went to the store and we bought an egg cream. And the egg cream cost a dime, which was a lot of money for a yeshiva guy then. And they bought their egg creams. It was like a milkshake, he said, even. They made their shahakal. Of course, they both made the brachas. Rav Wolfson said, he finished his. Boom! He slammed it, you know? He said, Shlomo Kalbach was slowly, slowly sipping it. He finishes two-thirds of the egg cream. There's a third left. And he takes it and he shows it to Rav Moshe Wolfson. He says, you see this maishala? Yeah? He goes, you know who this is for? He says, no, who? He goes, this is for the Eibishter. And he puts it down and he gives the cup back. And Rav Moshe Wolfson said, like, listen, I don't know what became of him, but that's something a Baal Avodah does. To show you can enjoy the milkshake. But when you leave over a third of it, I mean, again, if you're getting a larger Carvel, those are massive, you know? Like your daily calories for the week and that thing. It's like unbelievable. But Lemaisa, the idea of understanding what eating is supposed to be and what it can be versus what it is for so many. And again, it's what Rav Pinkus says. Anything that has great potential to bring you closer to God, because this world has to be in perfect balance, because it has so much potential to connect you to God, the drive against it, to pull you away from God through the same act, is going to be immense. And he says, that's what we see in our parasha. We see how eating can pull a person away, can become that maisa behemoth, that animalistic act, as Esav demonstrates for us at the end of Perek Chafei Lamed, where we see in the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin from Yitzchak Avinu, what eating could really be. And that's what he says. Rav Pinkus, I want to end with just this beautiful thing that he writes. What a person should think before he eats, before she eats. He should say, Baruch HaMakom SheBarazos. Blessed is God who created this food. Ribon Shalolam. Im Ani Lo Eshte Uchalom Uschas V'Sholom. God, if I don't eat, I could die. Ribon Shalom HaMashke Azehu Gam Ta'im. This drink that you gave me, it tastes good. It's cold. Vafilu Mugaz, if that does it for you. It's even carbonated. I don't know. You know, some people that don't like carbonated drinks, right? My wife isn't a fan of carbonated drinks. V'eskol zen asata li kidei shiye li tanuk. And he gave me this cold, delicious drink just so I can enjoy it. And so I won't die. And he says, Lama zemagili, why do I deserve this? Hari zeh chesed Hashem. It's a chesed of Hashem that I have such a drink. That this is what's going to keep me alive, and this is what's going to, that, and I'm going to enjoy it. Not that we shouldn't enjoy it. You should enjoy it. It's saying you should enjoy it. But you have to create the proper framework to enjoy it in a spiritually healthy way. Otherwise, God forbid, it could be very damaging spiritually. Spiritually, it could be damaging. Allah, the very first sin created in the world was a sin of achila. And again, is he right? The carbon Pesach, the Gemara says what eating kadshim was like. Eating from a carbon was a form of avodas Hashem. Like we're not going to get into the stories about it, but it was like a very lofty level to eat from a carbon. It's a very holy thing. And Rav Pinkus suggests that we can connect to that today. We have that ability. And you know, it's like the whole Food Network thing, like foodies and Food Network. You used to get Food Network magazine. And I told my wife, I'm like, you know, I just, like this deification of food, like something's off. Like, and then there's a from one now that, you know. But at the root is something special, meaning food is amazing. It's beautiful. And it's awesome, but also we have to recognize it's holy. And that's why we're drawn to it with all of ourselves, with the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hurrah, we're all drawn to food. All parts of us are drawn to the food. And it's up for us, I'm going to use a Kabbalistic concept, but we're not going to get into Kabbalah. Then I'll be asleep. We'll all be, the idea of Birurim. That this world, a lot of this world is Birurim, is to know how to make selections and how to separate things. That's one of the challenges of life, Iker and Tafel, Birurim. And in the act of eating, there's a lot of Birurim going on, Al Pi Kabbalah. A lot of separating and taking in the sparks of holiness. And that's really when whether you have a Thanksgiving Suda, if you don't have a Thanksgiving Suda, but we're all going to have a Shabbos Suda, right? We're all going to have maybe you'll have a Suda tomorrow, maybe you won't have a Suda if you don't do the carbs thing except for Shabbos, whatever. Halachic Suda, non. But we have to understand, Kilo, as the Pasuk in Devarim says, Perik Ches Pasuk Gimel, Ki lo al alechem levado yichya adam, ki al kol motzefi Hashem yichya adam. That it's not just the bread that we're living on. When you eat, you have to recognize that it's the pi Hashem, it's the word of God that I'm taking in, that's really sustaining me. And that Hashem is giving me, as that short tefillah of Pinchas wrote, to say, Hashem, this is so amazing, thank you. What a chesed. And if I don't have this, I'm going to die. And it tastes good, and it's all from you, through Ribono Shalom. And it would be a little, don't do it every time you eat, because you're not going to. Try it twice a day. Try it twice a day before you eat to really exercise what Rav Pinchas is talking about. To say a short tefillah in your own words about what the food is going to help you do and what the food is and how you appreciate it and how you're going to lift that food back to the Ribono Shalom. And that in this week's parsha we see the differences, the different approaches, how a person can eat. And we of course know whose example we're supposed to be following. Shkoyach. Shkoyach.